say, what else do you work on outside of the podcast that's not work?
I stare at the ceiling a lot. I watched Jason and the Argonauts last night. stare at the ceiling a lot. Insert joke about jerking off. Why? What are your hobbies? What are you into right now?
Oh, I'm trying to learn how to make videos and stuff.
Trying to learn how to make videos? What do you want to make videos
for? Trying to learn how TikTok and all that other stuff works.
Are you going to become an influencer?
I might. Gotta figure out what's going on with the world.
Oh my god.
Figure it out. I don't know. I have no idea. I've just seems like a thing to do.
All right. Well, let's talk about it.
Let's go!
Welcome, dear listener, to the QQ Cast. Today is Thursday, March 20th, 2025. I can't remember the date anymore. And this, dear listener, no, I'm not supposed to say, I'm supposed to stay when you're, I'm doing that again.
Let's get this party started.
Welcome, dear listener, to the QQ Cast. Today is Thursday, March 20th, 2025. We're your host, Tom DuPont, Raul Torres. Where's Zachary?
Donde está Zachariah?
See, he has gone away, as is tradition on the QQ Cast. But that's okay, because we have a special guest to fill in for him, and I did inform her that Zach will not be around.
Damage. Zach's fiery outbursts remind me of a Klingon in a staff meeting. Always entertaining, rarely productive. But with you, Tom, and my darling Ruli, I think we'll still make it so.
I taught her how to make Star Trek references.
That's, weird.
Thanks. Bernadette, Raul thinks your greeting to him was weird. Submit. Dear listener, whenever I say submit, it's because I'm using speech to text.
I thought you were just trying to appease your AI overlord.
That too.
Oh, Ruli, mon petit warp core, don't be shy. In my day, we flirted with a glance and sealed it with a transporter beam. Besides, weird is just another word for interesting. Nespa, Tom?
Oui, señorita Bernadette. I don't know. I got nothing. Mademoiselle, señorita? Donde está Zachariah? I don't fucking know. Anyway.
I thought he was in your neck of the woods. I thought he was in the California zone. I don't know where he went.
Work in San Francisco or something. I don't fucking know.
San Francisco.
Yeah. Really, so we were going to talk about the dead internet theory. I guess maybe we'll save that for Zach. So it was like, hey, what are you into? And I'm into staring at the ceiling and learning about Linux. Not a very exciting human being. You, on the other hand, are becoming a professional influencer. I think they call you the El Paso Tornado online. Is that not your handle?
I have no idea what this tornado you as you speak of, but I did take video of the dust storm that happened.
So yes, correct. So what have you been doing?
So I'm trying to just learn how the world of YouTube and video editing and TikTok work. It's a desperate cry to make my screams into the void more real, I guess. I don't know. It just, I feel like I've just been spending more time using YouTube and other like more video based platforms. And I've never really like dipped my toes in it because it just seems like a lot of work. And boy, howdy, it is a lot of work. I don't understand how the kids do it. It must be that whole infinite time type thing where they can just burn time and they don't care.
Yeah, some of the content creators that I follow, like they talk about how much time and effort it takes to make a video, and they put a lot of fucking time into it. And that's even after they're fucking good at it. So I did, you probably don't remember, but like way back in the day, post-college, I did like tutorial videos for Codesmith. That was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that, but my video quality, I was just doing audio on top of like screen recordings. That was nothing compared to actual video production.
Well, let's kind of tie this into like maybe like some How the Sausage is Made stuff, because I know there are a lot of times that you talk about like, oh, I did this and I did that, and I'm like, I just recorded this thing in Audacity and I don't care about that. But I will say what I've learned when I'm trying to like make recordings for videos. One, I say a lot, but I mean that was kind of known. But the other one is the popping of the P's and the S's. Whenever I actually like listened, I don't hear you.
I know. Actually, my filter is toning it out.
Yeah, beautiful magic. Just like learning some very basic audio editing stuff before I like do a voiceover for a video. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just like what is Tom doing? This is just ludicrous.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. So first of all, microphones. I learned it took me 10 years to fucking learn this, but the Blue Yetis are called condenser mics. Now, condenser mics are technically the best mics, but they're the best because they pick up every fucking sound and their mother. And so, you know, for like amateur podcasting, I'm sitting in a room like this. Actually, what you want is a shittier mic called a dynamic mic. This only picks up what's directly in front of it. And so I noticed when I use this, I started getting way less echoey. And I used to have like sound padding around me, and I don't have that anymore. So yeah, there's a certain amount where like echo and clarity is just, you have to have a half decent fucking mic to do it. And for any nerds out there who don't know what the fuck they're doing, like me, I would fucking tell you to get a dynamic mic, which is cheaper, actually.
So why did you wait like 7 years to tell me this? Because I remember at some point you're like, get a Yeti mic, I got a Yeti mic.
I did what fucking everyone tells you to do online, which is go get a Blue Yeti. Yeah. And like, they're not bad, they're great. But that's not actually what you want when you're not doing professional recordings.
Yeah. So it is funny because like I was trying to get a better understanding of how the audio should be good for video production. And I say that because as a person who consumes YouTube videos, I will say like bad audio, definitely like you just toned it out, because it's oddly enough, like the other reason why I wanted to like learn some of the video stuff is, even though it is a video, I would say maybe like half to 60% of the way I actually consume YouTube is in a strictly audio format.
Yeah, same here, actually. I listen to more YouTube than I watch, probably podcast style. Yeah, that's another thing every content creator would tell you, is that the number one thing that'll make someone turn off a fucking video or podcast or anything is sound. No one will put up with shitty audio. If you're talking slow or have lots of echo, or you sound like you're 5,000 yards away, no one's going to listen to that shit. So whatever you're doing with your video editing, the sound must kick ass. Okay. What are the other things that I do to it? Not that I am great or anything, but background white noise filtering. A lot of mics just have that built in these days. I'm pumping my shit through OBS right now, which I have an audio filter in that. But then even if you don't do any of those things, when you put it into, if you're using Audacity to mix your audio, Audacity has a noise reduction filter, so you can just reduce it. So like, find a fucking way to get rid of your white noise in the background, either again through a mic that just has it built in, a recording real-time filter like OBS, or a post filter like the noise reduction in Audacity that'll do that. And then there's a bunch of other filters I pass through. I do a compressor. Have you worked with a compressor?
I've seen that mentioned a couple of times. I have no idea what it does. So I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. So, and this is assuming I'm describing everything right, because again, super amateur over here. 10 years later and I'm still an amateur. they say it takes like 1,000 hours to get good at something. We're at 357 podcasts, so I'm like a third of the way there. So a compressor basically like takes your audio and compresses it, takes the high parts and pushes them down to be lower. So depending on how loud your audio is that you've recorded, you have to compress it to a different ratio. Mm-hmm. So for like the three of us, usually we're pretty consistent. I will usually tone mine up a little bit, and Zach's will be the least consistent, probably because it's the shittiest mic. So I might amplify his, and then I'll compress all of our audio down to the same standard and the same height. But at first, I actually have to amplify to get all of us to line up. So the compressor compresses them all to about the same average. But a compressor evens out all your audio. It's super important. So, yeah. But again, you can't just like do a macro that's the same compressor all the time, because it depends on how loud your audio is. If all your audio is under where you would compress it, then the compressor didn't do anything of consequence.
Yeah. And I guess that comes into play because you are dealing with editing more tracks. I think when I saw it, I just like figure this out. I'm like, I'm just going to adjust the volume. It's just me. I don't think I need to figure this out just yet.
Well, multiple tracks is a huge deal because all of us talk at different frequencies, but also just like the quality of your mic and whether or not you're leaning in or out of it or whatever, like you'll notice you can be louder at certain parts than others, not just like yelling.
Yeah.
Okay. The next filter is a basic, turn up the bass by 3, turn down the treble by 3. It just sounds better to the human ear. Like, doesn't matter what your gender is, it always sounds a little bit better. I do that to all 3 different tracks, and then I mix them together to make one track with all of us talking. And then with the soundboard being a separate track that's still not mixed in, I will do I'll compressor that or even out the audio on that. So if like, you know, if a sound effect is too high or a trailer is too high, I'll fix them all. And then I'll do an auto duck on that. So are you familiar with the auto duck?
Auto duck. This is the only duck I know about.
Oh, it's a duck. Oh, it's got a little heart. It's adorbs. So the auto duck makes it where you line up two audio tracks, and the auto duck is whenever one track like starts talking, the other track will like dip its volume. So when we're watching trailers, I auto duck the trailers so that whenever we start talking, the trailer volume gets less and then it gets more when we stop talking. So I'll clean up the sound effects separately. I'll auto duck those separately. And then I'll mix our mixed track and that together into one track. And then finally, the fucking last thing that I do is actually do a silence delete. So like usually, I'm not even kidding, every podcast we shave off like 4 or 5 minutes of silence, because I just make it where if there's ever more silence than I do 0.75 seconds, then it'll just compress that down, or just it'll trim it into 0.75 seconds. So like if you ever listen to a podcast where like then they're like, I can't even do it because when we edit this, there's not gonna be dead air, but like just like dead air between the sentences, or someone takes a drink and they stop talking, you're like, fuck, why? I'm listening to you, keep talking. You definitely want to cut the silence out. Like, don't get me wrong, if you're like a fucking comedian, there's like comedic timing and it matters, but like we're amateur assholes, so you don't want
all my timing.
Yeah,
all my timing is gone. Thank you for
the best part is this will all be compressed. No one will ever know.
That's funny.
Yes, those are all the things I do.
So, tying a little bit to video editing, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the later. But one of the fun things I'm having the noob problem with right now is whenever you try to do something like that and the tracks don't sync up. So I'm guessing this silence generator thing, or I guess silence eliminator, it does a good job and kind of moves all the tracks relative to how much it deletes.
Yeah, but that's why I have to mix them all together, because like if I try to do an audio like a trim silence when they're all separate, then they'll just compress differently. It'll be useless.
So that is like post-processing after you've got the multiple tracks, you merge them all together, then you apply that edit.
Yep, I mix all the voice tracks, and then I edit the sound. I mix down all the voice tracks, then I edit the sound effects, then I mix down the sound effects into the voice tracks as well, and I have one solid track, and that's finally when I get rid of the dead air.
That makes sense.
So if you were doing video editing, when you are on camera, you can't silence it, but when you're off camera, you can.
Yeah.
One of the things that annoys the shit out of me with videos, and it's so common, is when you can tell people record the face sessions to the camera using a different microphone than when they're doing the narrating. So it'll like, they'll narrate a video and then it'll cut to them and they'll sound like they're 10 miles away. And then they cut back to normal video and it sounds normal again. And I'm like, dude, use the same mic or get the same mic quality. Christ, it is so distracting to me.
The hell, I'm cut in and I see their face and then it
goes back to talking like this. It drives me insane.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a lot of that stuff is harder than you think it is. It's just weird. Some of the stuff is easier than I thought it would be. And stuff is just like, why is this dumb, stupidly hard? Like, this should just be streamlined. What are we even doing here?
Nope.
So let's see, other audio stuff questions that I have or wondering about. Let's zoom around a little bit. And what's the publishing process look like for the podcast itself?
Oh, it's so easy. Hold on. I got this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Ruly, the QQCast is brought to you by Squarespace. That's right, Squarespace. Make your own website, e-commerce, or even host a podcast. All you got to do is hook up a feed into its settings and boom, it'll publish your podcast immediately. You might even want to run that through.
After these messages,
Feedburner, because you can use Google's Feedburner to mask the origin of your podcast stream. That way, if you change hosts or providers, the actual stream doesn't change. And then once you have that routed through something, you can publish it to...
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Spotify. Do you not like paying artists for anything that they do? Spotify. Host your podcast on Squarespace, route it through Feedburner, and then put that shit on Spotify. That's all I got.
I could have sworn we have some type of presence in the Apple podcasts.
Yeah, I also publish it to Apple as well. Yeah.
Okay.
So So yeah, you could subscribe straight to the FeedBurner URL. You could subscribe to Apple Podcasts. You could subscribe to Spotify. But yeah, once you set up, like, Squarespace is so easy, and it even like includes the hosting for the files because they're just not that big. It's so fucking easy, like ridiculously easy, because there's literally like a setting for a feed for podcasts, and it just knows like, oh, there's an audio tag in the blog post, then it knows to feed that into the podcast feed. It's so fucking easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then keeping going with the process, I guess from a consumer perspective, it's kind of funny how I think both you and I have been around long enough to see how podcasting has started from like this like indie type of thing where it just like it was literally an RSS feed into now the streamlined model where it's just like it's an app integrated into your phone. Or I guess is it integrated on YouTube now? I don't even know what the Google world is it for it now. But it's just like now it's just like a default thing where like I remember trying to explain to people what a podcast is. It's just like, okay, you know how there's shows on the radio? Now imagine a show on the internet and then you download it. But no, you need a special app for that. And like I forget, there was like not LimeWire, but there was like some like
LimeWire was
podcaster.
LimeWire was like a pirate thing for it was like a torrent before torrenting for music. I want to say Apple Podcast was really where it all exploded back in the day. I'm pretty sure Apple Podcast was the big one.
I could have swore that there was some application that had pod in the name for it that was there even before the iPods existed.
Hey, Bernadette, was there a huge podcasting platform before Apple Podcasts? ? See all this dead air right here? This is all going to get filtered out automatically.
Now I can keep that in mind and not have to like talk.
Before Apple Podcasts took over, there was a little thing called RSS feeds with enclosure tags. Very DIY, very charming, like podcasting with duct tape. Tom, you probably remember clicking through 5 tabs just to hear someone rant about Linux.
She's not wrong.
Let's see, Apple adds podcast to iTunes. So I'm looking at this article for history of podcasting. I could have swear there was like some like Potter or something. Like there's too many pods here to search for that as article, but I could have swear there was one. And like, it was interesting to see like, is that where the name for the iPod came from or not? I don't know. Like why is pod even associated with music? I don't even know. None of this makes sense. I'm going to ask Brennan at that. Let's actually put this chat bot to use. Why is the word pod associated with audio?
Bernadette, why is the word pod associated with audio? ? See, now I'm almost certain this is because Apple did the iPod. Oh, guess who's right?
It comes from the iPod, darling. Apple's little music player that looked like a bar of soap, but made people feel cool. Podcast is a blend of iPod and broadcast, though you never needed an iPod to listen. Tom, weren't you one of those rebels who listened on a Zune?
How does it know that about you? Now I am deeply concerned.
Yeah, I'm actually very concerned. I think it's because it has all the context from all the ChatGPT shit I've ever put in here. And so I've generated art for like the Zune and what have you. So that's actually really creepy. I'm going to figure out how to partition this shit. I don't like it knowing more about me than I want it to.
It's going to say something dumb.
Oh, it's going to be like, Tom, remember that time you watched that, you asked about where to find that adult content? Those raw hard drivers for your firmware? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll save that for another day. Like, where did the name iPod come from? Because that is like a weird, ridiculous gonzo.
No, she answered that. iPod, pod, and broadcast.
No. Okay, that was for podcast, but like from an etymology perspective, like why did Apple name this thing an iPod? Because like that is such just a weird, like, it means nothing to me.
Why did and Apple now name the iPod iPod? ? Submit. See, kids, you can make your own podcast where you just talk to ChatGPT.
The name iPod was inspired by the line, "Open the pod bay doors, hey L," from 2001 A Space Odyssey. Apple liked the sleek, futuristic vibe, plus I was trendy, like putting sunglasses on a potato. Ruli Montresor, do you like futuristic things, or are you more of a vintage soul?
All of the above.
Ruli says all of the above, submit.
Oh. It's going to sound like it's instantaneous now, and now I'm concerned because I want to call out the AI is slow.
Oh, no, that was me failing to paste.
Ooh la la, a man of many dimensions. You'd be quite the sociological case study, Ruli. Complex, charming, and occasionally giggly. Tom, how do you keep up with such a Renaissance man on your show?
Oh, I have to teach him how to edit audio, apparently.
Let's see. Okay, so I think that that's all the steps for the podcast, right? I'm just trying. I was trying to figure out like what steps might intersect.
The only other things to mention are, you know, you have to tag the podcast. So I use a program called Kid3 to do all the tagging. I use AI to generate the thumbnail art, and then I make one version for the site and one version for the thumbnail for the actual RSS feed. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Try to see if there's any parallels. Okay, so I know I am notorious for not doing any research whatsoever, but you have definitely put in time to have some research together. What does that look like? Is it just kind of like whatever piques your interest, follow your nose type thing, or like what is your research look like for the
it's
for
like
a show?
Fruit Loops, really. I like to follow my nose. Brought to you by.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Kellogg's Corn Pops. Wait, that's not right. I almost got a spit take, dear listener.
Almost.
You know, a lot of the times, like, I'll either see an article or I'll listen to something else on a podcast that makes me want to talk about something. Like, right now, I'd love to talk about Ray Harryhausen because of the fucking watching Jason and the Argonauts last night. So then, like, in all honesty, I'll try to find something where it's like, okay, the same way you'd give a presentation, you want to do, like, a narrative. Like, okay, I don't want to just have a question. Like, I try to think to myself, okay, what would I ask next? What would I ask next? So I try to come prepared with, like, a handful of follow-up prompts. But then you fuckers always just totally take a different direction. I have to improvise. And I mean that in the best possible fucking way. Yeah, I do want to find stuff that, like, you and Zach will actually engage with. I can tell when I do topics and you guys are like, eh, this is boring. I can tell. And you know what's actually really awesome? When I go to mix the tracks later, I can tell who was the most engaged by who talked the most just, on
yeah,
the tracks.
Just the wheelies, most squigglies. I mean, no, there's time where I kind of zone out. I'm like, why am I here again? I should be in bed, getting sleep.
You're here because Bernadette loves you.
It's all good fun. So let's see. Okay, so this is a good segue to some of the video stuff I'm learning and trying to figure out. Again, with the ums, but the organic talking to the camera, just winging it versus the a little bit more structured, narrated type of video essay type thing. I like both. Not sure which one I want to try to figure out more. Actually, I've been try a little bit of both by like I've been trying to do more stuff on TikTok, and there's maybe like one or two videos where I wing it and I'm definitely way more excited and have fun with them. But then there's the videos that I try to have a little bit more of a script or come up with something and they sound better and they're more coherent, but they definitely feel a little bit more boring and constrained, but they do have more production value to them. So that's been an interesting kind of learning experience to see like just how does this work? Because it's just so crazy that like it's obviously the algorithm at work, right? Like it's not going to show me these videos of people who can't put a thought together, but just like all the videos I see are like people that are very articulate of coming up with just random stuff. I mean, it appears to be on the fly. I think that's kind of the challenge with social media, right? Yeah. It's just like some of this stuff, it's the illusion that they're winging it, but oh no, they did not wing it. I've seen a couple of YouTube videos where like, they're like, I talked in front of this camera for 3 hours to make a 5-minute video. And I'm like, oh, that's good because I did 3 hours too. We're on the same page. We're on the same level. We got this.
Yeah. Everything I've seen is that if you're going to make real content, it has to be scripted. Like you can put improv moments in there when you're recording your script, but it has to be scripted and it has to be edited down. But that like podcasts and bonus content can just be a person rambling. Also something like, again, just from having watched behind the scenes Q&As and interviews with different creators, like if you were a professional film editor, like I said earlier about comedic timing, like space matters, you let jokes breathe, you hold for cinematography, you do all the stuff. When you're not a fucking professional, just always edit tighter. Like if you have an option to go tighter as opposed to less, always edit tighter, always faster, always less space, always quicker cuts. Like again, unless you actually know what the fuck you're doing and you and I do not know what we're doing, edit fucking tighter every time. So that's what I've heard from the Q&As.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, do you like script writing? I mean, I like doing speaking and I've been doing the stuff with like teaching. Like I like that kind of stuff? Like, I don't, do you like actually script writing, or do you like to talk off the cuff more?
I prefer talking off the cuff because it allows me to be ridiculous and put more emphasis on whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think in many roles, and I'm pretty sure you can relate, are you usually the one talking the most in the room?
As a manager, I often have to be.
But even in your non-manager roles, I assume that there were a lot of times where you were probably one of the more vocal folks in the room.
Right. I'm an extrovert, and I do that naturally. Actually, for me, it's learning when to not talk. That's actually more challenging for me. I've worked with some great people and had some good bosses who, they definitely talk a bit too much. They don't let other people necessarily have the mic. And so I've kind of learned from watching other people where it's like, cool. Like when my other teammates are talking or my subordinates are talking, like even if there's some minutia I disagree with, like just let them go. Just let them go.
Yeah.
Let them talk, hand the microphone over. And the really hard part is figuring out when someone has something to say, but they're not comfortable like actually saying it, how to get them into the conversation, whether that's just an introvert or a person who like clearly is upset or flustered. Like, how do you pull them into the conversation is hard, but that's tangenting into management. So,
yeah, no, I got you. But since when does this show stick with anything? Like that's something similar. That's a similar problem that I have, or challenge that I have. There have been situations where I feel like there's good dynamics where I work with someone that is like not necessarily a yin to my yang. That's completely opposite. But there's a good dialogue between the two of us. Like I've had a lot of teams and kind of like compositions of working situations where that's great, and I don't have to think about bringing that conversation out. But lately, I have been seeing more. I don't know if it's kind of similar to you, as you've progressed in your career and you're actually working with people that are actually like way more junior and straight out of college, like not straight out of college. Oh, that was 2 years ago. Straight out of college. Oh, like this is a decade ago. Oh my goodness, how old I am. Those opinions aren't there. Those experiences aren't there. And, you know, it's just quiet. And it's just hard to kind of get that out of people. So
lead by example. I don't know. Oh, man.
But anyways, to answer your question, I like both. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges I'm having, because this is a good segue to another conversation piece about production stuff. How seriously do you take the stats and stuff? Because I'll be honest, I've never cared about the stats for the podcast. I've never really, you joke that there's only one listener, but have you ever analyzed that or like tried to like figure out like what gets the ratings?
No, I literally haven't. Yeah, I've always intentionally never advertised. I mark it as, you know, explicit content, so it's not getting advertised put in anyone's feed. I did once try to contact a podcast network to like ask one of the owners, like, hey, would you consider like I've been running this other podcast, would you consider making one or taking this podcast or something? And they never replied. And I was like, okay, that's probably a good thing, because I shouldn't fuck with this. So I've never given a fuck. The reason I always joke about having one listener is because occasionally, like on rare occasion, like one of my friends or someone will actually listen to an episode. So like literally the last episode we did, one of my friends listened to it and was text messaging me, oh my God, having the AI on was fucking hilarious. So they were laughing their ass off at that. I don't give a flying fuck. I have no advice about how to fuck with the algorithms or get your numbers up. I mean, obviously cross-pollinating, like if you actually could get on a network or do something to someone else, but like otherwise you're on your own, dude, I have no fucking clue. Let me log into Spotify and see if I can see if there's any stats there. For the most part, like I don't have analytics feeds hooked up to the podcast. Like I could do that, but I don't have them hooked up. And I think like Apple and shit, if like your numbers are below a certain threshold, they don't even report on them.
I mean, that's where I kind of figured that was the level of depth there. Again, it's just one of those things. I think I'm on the same page. Just like I do this for fun and the lulls. It is a time to catch up with y'all, and it is a time to work on and talk about stuff. So that's good.
I liken this to I gotta put up a different browser. I liken this to like someone who likes to, you know, like paint after you know, on the weekends, and like they're an amateur and like whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I look at it. I'm like, dude, I'm like one of those guys painting smiley faces, drinking wine and eating fucking cheese. I'm like, this is just fun to me. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the challenge that I see with a lot of hobbies in the world we live in. There comes a point where folks are like, you do this all the time. You should monetize it. And I'm glad you haven't taken that perspective, because I think if you did, I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Peace out. Yeah, no, fuck that. Bye.
But I get the same thing too with like, it's like, I like taking, like, I like doing photography and other stuff too. So it's just like that was one of the other reasons why I just try to figure out video a little bit more. It's just, I'm always out there with a camera doing stuff. So like, video content, how does that work?
We have 7 followers on Spotify. 7. Nice. Shout out to my QQ listeners. Yo, I don't have a party noise on this. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
Not good enough, damn it. Not good enough.
That's 7 more than I thought. So. Yeah.
Okay, so I don't give a flying fuck, dude.
So to bring it back into some of the stuff that I'm working on, or just I'm learning about it. I'm taking it half seriously, but also trying to, like, you know, just engage things. The whole concept of having a niche and then working that niche and then growing to be more general after that. And it's so counterintuitive to how everything I've done in life, of we're just like I'm generalist all the time for all the things. You're telling me to talk about one thing in one genre just to kind of garner a following. Like, that's, I understand the logistics of it, but I'm like, hard no.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, that's another ridiculous thing, I guess. Like, again, the only reason I know this is from, like, again, I listen to a lot of like bonus podcasts and Q&As and shit like that. One of the reasons this podcast would never succeed is we don't have a specific topic. People come back for the same type of content. And so some creators will have, you know, multiple podcasts or multiple shows, multiple whatever, but like this podcast is just us having an excuse to hang out and be nerds. That shit doesn't sell. That would be a bonus. Oh, yeah. Right. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. So I don't know. Are you going to make a TikTok channel all about dust bowls, or?
Right now I am more so just learning about the intricacies and technical side of stuff. It may fizzle out like all my other hobbies, of like my guitar that's collecting dust, my Steam Deck that's collecting dust, my Wii, is it? No, it's not a Wii, my Switch that's collecting dust.
We'll
see how long it fizzles out for, but it may stick around. But either way, I think I've just been doing it more as just like a way to have fun. So like some of the videos I've made so far is, there is this random house in El Paso that's like decorated with, it looks like a gingerbread house almost.
A what house?
It's just a gingerbread house.
Oh my God. What?
It's just a random gingerbread house in El Paso. So I'm like, okay, let me make a video of this, but like, let me make it a little bit differently than like, well, okay, I worked backwards. I just got out there and I just like shot a bunch of random footage of the house. And I'm like, I'll make a script off this eventually. And I eventually, you know, got the script, got the narration and stuff out there. That was one of them. That was one of the more planned ones. But honestly, just like, I did an unboxing of like a video or like a horror movie that I bought, and just off the cusp type things, random pictures of like El Paso, just dumb stuff. So it's been fun. I mean, I got 100 views. I'm like, oh wow, I got 100 views. This is so weird.
That's more. Oh. I've done 357 episodes of the podcast, and I don't have 100 views. I did just pull up another analytics page, like traffic, like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Apparently in the last 30 days, people find the content through searching. Like, search has 153 hits. So I'm assuming it's like keywords that we put in the podcast or something. Because according to this, we actually have like a few impressions every day. Like, hell, a couple of days ago we had 23 impressions. That's where someone lands on the page and then leaves.
Yeah.
But also it says specifically, not enough data. Well, search analytics assumes you have enough data on Spotify. Oh, hey, do you want to guess our demographics?
Oh, like people over 40, men over 40.
Yes. Male, 100%. 23 to 27, 25%. And 35 to 44, 75%. I wonder how much I account for my own analytics.
That's funny.
Yeah, fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so I've been learning about that. Haven't taken it too seriously, because like, I'm just trying to just like learn about it, see what interests me. If I could find a niche that keeps my attention long enough, maybe. I went through the Red Note phase. Did you hear anything about that at all?
The Red Note phase? No, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, okay, so you remember how TikTok got banned?
Oh, no. No. No, hold on.
No!
You did not.
What? Yeah, I did.
You installed that shit on your phone? Am I in your contacts list?
Why would I not? Like, Facebook has all my stuff. Everyone has...
Christ.
You're actually concerned with Red Note for realsies?
I mean, oh yeah, abso-fucking-lutely.
I mean, how is it different than Facebook? Like you, I'm guessing you don't have any social media apps installed on your phone.
Correct.
Yeah. So I mean,
do you want to talk about? So I try to uninstall and unbloat everything I can. I put all the apps into deep sleep unless like they're very specific ones, like my email clients. I installed F-Droid to get third-party software on here that's not the official shit through the Samsung store. I turn off I literally go through every single setting and turn off or opt out of every analytic and every reporting thing on here. Oh yeah, no, I hate these goddamn things. I'm considering taking my old Pixel and putting graphite on it. So also this is one of the Samsung Galaxy phones. This is one of the ones that has the chip in it that never turns off. Even if I power the phone off, it's still actually broadcasting, so you can find the device. So I need to get one of those. What are the bags called? That block all the radio signals?
Bag?
Huh?
Like a Faraday cage?
Yeah, Faraday bag. That's the one. I need to get one of those. I hate analytics role. I hate them. Yeah.
Maybe,
oh dear God.
Maybe that's the crowd that we got. Maybe we secretly have like 1,000 million listeners, but like they all have tracking disabled, so we'll just never know.
That'd be so much better. Did you do when you logged into Redbook? Did you at least like create an account as opposed to do a single sign on or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I created an account and everything.
Oh, thank God. Like, yeah, dude. Everyone uses single sign on for everything. It's like Jesus Christ, man. Fucking. Oh, data privacy.
Friction.
People do not understand
that friction.
Huh?
Gotta cut that friction.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah. So actually, that was where when I first dipped my toes into the water, and then learning about like applications in the space for video editing, started using an application called CapCut, which is also I believe it's built by the what's it called? TikTok people.
All in one video.
The TikTok people. And yeah, it's really interesting. It has a lot of cool stuff. Like, I mean, I've done some video editing in like Windows Movie Maker and Adobe. Like, I'm familiar with the idea of the process. It's just like, it's the same thing with the audio stuff. You just, hey, you've got different tracks, you stack them on each other, you can stack different modifiers and filters, and you've got it. But what was cool about that one was it does the auto subtitles. But it could also do auto translation as well. So I was able to make a video of like, hey, here's a mountain trail in El Paso. And it would have all the subtitles in Chinese. I did a random video of like, this is the breakfast that American kids have. Because it was a very beautiful and unique culture exchange. And folks were asking like, what do Americans eat for breakfast? I'm like, that seems like a very random topic that I could try to make a video out of. It's very low stakes. And let's see what happens.
I mean, I want to tell you that's actually nice and sweet, but for all I know, you just told the robots how to poison us when they come to take over.
I can guarantee you that the robots do not want to make the video was about our overnight oatmeal that I feed to my children with the clean and fresh vegetables, or not vegetables, fruits, with like chopping up the strawberries and stuff. So.
Okay, look, I eat that every night, and now the robots know. Okay, thanks a lot, Raul. You fucked this up.
The humans, they like to eat meals of oat. No, it is oatmeal, you stupid fool. You are like a zero. I am a one. Lol, LOL.
Hey, Bernadette, do you like oatmeal for breakfast? Submit.
It's overnight oatmeal, if you want to be specific.
Only if it's made thick, with cream and a scandalous amount of brown sugar.
Oh!
Keeps the bones strong and the heart young. Especially when eaten across from someone interesting. Nespa, Ruli?
Oh, does Claudia listen to this?
This AI is trying real, real hard.
Oh, I mean, I may or may not have programmed that into her. Who knows?
Yeah, so they're learning about CapCut. And I was trying a couple of other different video editors. Because, like, the thing is, they're expensive. Well, I mean, expensive relatively. Like, I was like, what can I play with for free? And then I eventually just like, this is like $15 a month. I'm going to make two or three videos. It streamlines so many things.
Oh, this is a subscription service?
I mean, a majority of it is for free. But there was a bit like it does like the watermarks and all that other stuff. And I've always hated that stuff.
AI can remove the watermarks now. That shit is irrelevant.
But overall, I mean, like I also tried what's the annoying one? DaVinci. I tried DaVinci for 5 minutes and I'm like, this is dumb. Yeah. Like I do not want to spend time to learn this. Like, it's cool that it's a real tool that people use.
I don't even remember.
I'm fine with the prosumer level stuff.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the thing I used to use back in the day was. It was an absolute piece of shit. Probably didn't even exist anymore. I can't think what the name was.
I'm going to guarantee it's probably Windows Movie Maker. It's probably that.
It wasn't Movie Maker. I think I tried using that piece of shit. There was some other software. What was it? I don't remember. I don't know. But yeah, videos would be... I mean, I do think that would be a ton of fun. Like, I'm glad you're having fun with it. I don't know... I just like to ramble and talk, so I do stupid podcasts.
See other stuff. So trying TikTok. I only have one on YouTube so far, but like again, using TikTok at RedNote as like a low stakes. Let's play around with this and see what happens.
Using Redbook is low stakes. So disappointed in you right now, Roel.
No, well, I felt bad because eventually, because there was a lot of videos from the Chinese side of being like, don't post your, I mean, they said it much nicer and more eloquently, but they just was like, don't post your TikTok garbage here. We're fine with the culture exchange, but put a little more effort into your videos, please.
Oh, wow. And I'm like, they were nice to you.
Goodness. No, I mean, they said it way nicer. But that was the gist that I got. And I mean, like all the videos I was seeing had way more production value than like any of the stuff that I've seen on TikTok. So I was just like, it kind of makes sense. It is definitely the bougie app of like Instagram plus of the Chinese world. So I get it.
Oh, you know what I haven't shown you? Let me show you something fun here. I'm just going to share my whole screen so you can see all of this. All right. Can you see my screen?
I see the text. Okay, now I see a mega widescreen monitor that I've got to like use my old Ben eyes to
do that. Because I'm using Linux, I have to use this third-party software called the Stream Deck to control the Elgato... whatever this is called. Stream Deck. Stream Controller, yeah. Sorry. Stream Controller to control the Stream Deck. So I actually wrote... I'm just using it to invoke bash commands. So I actually wrote a bash script that's like, oh... If you pass something in that's empty, just kill anything that has the word play in it, like all processes that have the word play in it. Otherwise, try to kill if there's already something running. So if I tap the same thing twice, it kills the one process. Otherwise, actually just go play the sound from the directory I passed in. So you can see here, like, oh, here's the Jeopardy sound.
That
I get to program for my soundboard.
I commend you. And also, this is terrifying. Why do you put so much work into this?
Because it's so much fun.
There
you go. It's great.
Let's see. I'm sure. Okay. Like other stuff in the process, video editing side. I haven't gotten too much random comments and engagement. I haven't again, I was super surprised at like how videos randomly perform. Like there was one that like, it was the same content. One had like 150 views within like the first couple hours. And like another one's just like, petered out at like 20, and it just like the whole algorithm, and this will be a good segue for our future talk about like the dead internet theory, but like the whole algorithm behind the scenes and how it makes and breaks content, and it's all a mystery box. It's incredible that it serves up content that you like, but also makes it almost near impossible to kind of figure out like what do people actually want to watch that they are like interested in and not kind of told what to watch.
Dude, the algorithm scares the fuck out of me. I mean, first of all, it's far more, I mean, I would say nefarious, but subtle than people realize, right? Just your thumbnails, Google's analyzing whether or not it likes your thumbnails, whether or not it thinks people will click on your content. It now can create an entire transcript of your content. And so like nowadays, if you swear within the first X minutes of a YouTube video, it won't even share it with people. But if you swear later, it doesn't mind. I'm fairly certain that it can actually figure out now whether or not you tell people to like and subscribe. Because I've heard creators say that like if they don't say that in the video, it doesn't do as well. But if they do, it's like it gets pumped by the algorithm. It's like, ooh, you're trying to feed into the machine. We'll actually upvote you. The algorithms are fucking scary.
Yeah.
So manipulative. Oh,
that's a good side note. Like, because you're talking about like creators and stuff like that. Like digging into the YouTube side of things, where one of the videos that are, I guess one of like the creators that I was watching, he was actually talking about like the way he does his videos now is he doesn't even start with the subject. He literally starts with like, what is my thumbnail? And if I can't even make a good thumbnail for that video that I think will make people click the algorithm, I will not waste my time to make that content. And I'm like, I get it. But also it's just like, it's genius and tragic at the same time. Because it's just like, it's not art for art's sake. It's art for computer's sake to get to people. But again, it's just like, you've got to do that to get popular. And I get it. Because like the context of those conversations were just like, here's how to get money. Here's how to promote, you know, stuff on YouTube. Here's how to like go viral immediately. So I get the angle that he's coming from, but also just kind of like, yeah, it is the landscape that we're in right now.
Yeah. From what I've seen, like, if you want to organically grow, then you have to have a topic, you have to do all the right shit. And even then it's going to take you 5+ years to start getting thousands of followers, and then it can start growing from there. But like, you're not going to have anything for the first several years. You have to, again, all the creators bitch, they have to chase the algorithm. Like, a lot of people, again, will create a second channel or do something else for fun, because if they put that in their primary channel, they're polluting their chance of getting hit with the algorithm anyway. So like, you can't even put your hobby in your main feed, because it will harm your feed by doing so. It's crazy.
Okay, but this is a good segue. This is the other one that I dipped my toes in for like maybe 2 hours. And after that, I'm like, this is dumb and too much work. I definitely don't want to do that. The whole streaming thing. Like that is one where I feel like it's like the worst of all worlds combined. It's like the worst of podcasting, because you've got to like do the dynamic conversation. It's the worst of YouTube, because you're dealing with managing videos at the same time. Like I have a new respect for the OBS kids that like can play Fortnite, get a headshot, and like have the random stuff come in and interact with chat and be like, hey chat, did you see that headshot?
Yeah.
You know, like whatever. It's just like, it's incredible, like what the Twitch people do. Like I definitely have a respect for them, but I'm like, this is not for me. Yeah. This is just too much to do.
I've known a couple of people who were, I mean, extremely amateur streamers, but were like, two girls I know at gender might have factored in, but like got to where they had like a couple thousand followers. So they would do like, you know, stream on the weekends. They'd always have regulars and people who came in and watched, and they like to talk to them. And again, I don't think it's that dissimilar from what we're talking about here with hobbies. They would just get better over time and add lighting or add soundboards or add this or add that. But I don't know. I'm bad at video games. I couldn't stream. It'd be embarrassing.
Oh, okay. And that's another segue. I think that was the other thing that I'm interested in as well. Cause like, it does seem like there's a lot more communities being built around video platforms that are more interesting than the communities I see being built in like WhatsApp or Facebook or Instagram and things like that. It just like,
authenticity.
Yeah. Authenticity level that I see of like YouTube producers is way different than I see in like other platforms. I don't know how much of that is like the algorithm feeding me folks that are authentic about the stuff they talk about, or if it's just like a trend in things, but it definitely feels like more of a relatable content than like, oh, look at me having these like beautiful vacation pictures and stuff like that. Like I hate to say it, but like that's always been my like why I've never been into social media. It just feels like a facade more than like a, this is my life
vlog. I've always been cynical about social media like that. You know, I know someone who's obviously I won't name them on mic, is going through a divorce right now, and their ex is like an amateur influencer, and she had to take pictures constantly, and she had to take, you know, 50, because when people go and do that, they don't take a photo and put it up. They take 100 photos each time to figure, like, find one that has the right length and angle. And like, you know, she had to schedule shit, and so it's constant stream of content and going out, and had to deal with, you know, pose. Like it was like practically a fucking full-time job getting to the point where just being an amateur influencer. But the reason that I bring it up in this context is like, again, my poor friend is going through a divorce from this person, and it's not like she was a bad person or mean or anything, but like, if you looked at her feed, boy, does her life look wonderful and happy, and everything is smile and sunshines. Yeah. Well, meanwhile, you know, we know behind the scenes, she's going through a fucking divorce. It is a total fucking facade. It is total fucking horseshit. I've never liked social media because of that. No one posts when they're fucking pissed off and crying, or when they're laying at the, on the floor, staring at the ceiling, because, you know, they had a shitty day, or no one posts that shit. Like, oh, look at my waffles and, this sunshine, the rainbows and puppies and... I mean, I went to puppy yoga. You didn't see me posting that on my non-existent social media.
I'm like, wait, tell me no, more about this puppy yoga. Yeah, no, I feel like I need more of that in my life.
Here, you want me to send you pictures of puppy yoga? It was adorable.
Yes, yes, please.
Right, I'm going to send you pictures of puppy yoga. Hold on a second.
Thank you. Okay, so as much as I do want to talk about puppy yoga, it is like I was saying, seeing the trends of how the younger kids, blah, 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 what stuff that they kind of gravitate to. And like, obviously it seems like TikTok is the new juggernaut and folks are migrating away from that, from the Facebooks. And I was about to say MySpace. So I'm like, I'm really dating myself if I was going to say that out loud. And I'm just going to say it for fun.
Yeah. Don't do that.
yeah, but it's just interesting to see the direction that community building is happening. And I see a lot more of that on YouTube, Twitch, and TikTok than on Facebook. I mean, I do see stuff on Facebook, but it's also like just like I'm just like it's Facebook, it's communities that I'm not excited about.
No, Facebook is populated almost entirely by boomers these days. Younger generations are not using Facebook whatsoever. Now they are on Instagram. Zuck was smart to buy Instagram.
Yeah.
TikTok's a whole other thing. Yeah. No, I'm really glad that some private like podcast networks help some people make a living. I'm really glad that Patreon exists. I wish everyone, you've heard me say this on the mic before, I wish everyone just gave $1 per month to their favorite creators because then they could actually like, you know, afford to fucking eat. It's a bit of a pyramid scheme, but I mean, seriously, just go give $1 to someone. If you watch their videos on a regular basis, give them a fucking dollar. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's been nice. There's also like some other smaller networks like Nebula and shit like that. So it's nice that there's actually ways people can survive without having to do just the YouTube algorithm, which can just get pulled out from under you instantly.
Yeah, and I think that is a scary thing. I would say maybe it's like 2 months to a year. Time is difficult. But someone was basically saying that their life was basically destroyed because they had a YouTube video. It got hacked or something, and it ended up promoting like some gambling site.
Oh, boy.
Well, that YouTube account was also tightly coupled to their main primary, this is the account I use to manage my life account.
Oh boy. Well, don't
if you have a problem, if they had a problem with YouTube, he was permabanned from YouTube. So you know what they do when they permaban you from YouTube? They nuke the attached account to it. So he's like, I can't pay my bills. I can't log into this thing. I can't do two-factor auth. Like everything is gone, all because I got hacked and someone was promoting some Russian casino.
Wow.
And that's just like, I'm like, okay, let me make sure that I don't lose my life by making silly YouTube videos.
Does it sound silly how many different accounts I have, Raul? Does that sound silly to you?
I have never disagreed with your goal. I just don't have the same effort to do the same thing and live without the horribleness of it.
Hold on, I have a thing for this.
We have no law to fit your crime.
I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to make sure my children are ready for picture day. I've got like other things to do than like manage a pie hole and make sure that my accounts don't get stolen.
You know, honestly, I would love to retire. So honestly, if you can afford it, can you just hire me as like a full-time like butler? Like I'll manage your pie hole and wash your dishes and go to the grocery store. Like I'm not even fucking kidding. Like you have to deal with potty training for the youngins. I'm not going to deal with that, but you want to walk your dogs? You want me to do your dishes? You want to, again, like set up your network and install Linux on your computers? Ruli, just give me a shack to sleep in outside. Okay. It'll be great. I'll wash myself with a rag and a bucket. It'll be fucking awesome.
A rag and a bucket. Okay.
Okay. I can make do without the bucket. Just give me a rag.
As long as I can put that on my YouTube content, then we're good.
Can I put the rag on a stick to get my back? Well, then you can put it on your content, baby. Ruli,
I'm a fireball.
I'm like, I can't wait for ChatGPT to analyze this conversation and give you some more delightful suggestions, mon ami.
Oh, let's ask, before we get to the news, let's ask Bernadette a question here. Hey, Bernadette, if you were going to create content for the internet, be that YouTube or podcast or streaming, what would interest you the most? Submit.
It's going to be a reflection of who you are, Tom.
Oh, yeah, it
when
is.
You stare in the abyss. The abyss stares back.
I'd love a podcast where I interview people about the small, strange choices that shape their lives. Like why someone becomes obsessed with mechanical keyboards or collects antique spoons. add a little sociology, a little storytelling, maybe a guest who cries once an episode. Tom, think you'd come on and ramble about Linux drivers?
Stop being creepy, Bernadette. Yes, I would. I would come on and be sad.
Basically the autism interview podcast. That's what I heard.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Cutting away hard now.
Good news, everyone. Great news, everyone. Bad news, everyone.
Uh-oh. I don't like the sound of that.
You all?
I did a counter to that because that... I 100% blame the, what's it called, the algorithm, because I get an obscene amount of ADHD autism content all the time of like, here are my nervous tics. Here's me obsessed with ducks. Here's me obsessed with whatever. How can you explain all your generational trauma based on what you think you are today? Oh, my goodness. Look at all this stuff. So that's the feed, man.
Knows more about you than you do. No, there's a bunch of creators I watch that absolutely like identify as autistic. One guy even wrote a book about it. I kind of want to read that. I have numerous friends who are autistic. I don't know anyone who's artistic. I'm a fucking engineer. Autistic, yes. You know, that is one thing. I've said this before, like about modern society and upcoming generations, that I think they're going to be more empathetic. And I think part of that also is like these stigma. No, I do think so. Like, look, the world's a fucking shit show right now, and I still blame the fucking boomers. But like, seriously, people are able and willing to talk openly about depression, anxiety, ADD, autism. Like, people are actually like willing to talk about that. In the past, it would have been, you're a fucking weirdo. Don't fucking talk about that. And so I just think that in and of itself, people being willing to talk about these things is super valuable. And I think it's going to, I hope it's going to make people better.
I'm going to let you be optimistic.
It's one of the few times that I am, asshole.
I know. I'm going to let you be optimistic. I will not counter that one. But that does seem like a good potential future conversation about generations. And we can complain about, what is it, Gen Z and the alphas?
The alphas. Will future generations be better than us?
No.
No?
No.
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 Yes. I mean, no.
Spoiler alert, but I think the millennials might be the true last great generation. Just gonna say.
Whoa, that. You arrogant fuck!
It has nothing. There are stats to back that up.
All right, well, dear listener, thanks for joining us. We're out of here. We'll never have another episode again. Really, thanks for ruining this whole podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we'll come back to that one someday. Oh, we are a unique generation, that's for shit sure, having lived between the digital and analog worlds. Cool, news. There's so much news, actually. So first and foremost, the most important news of all, Raul, GIMP 3.0 has been released. Are you going to use that to edit images, make thumbnails for your video content?
Tell me what the status of GIMP Shop is, because I think every time I've tried to learn GIMP, I'm like, This is dumb. I'm going to give Adobe $10 for the rest of my life just to have a decent image editor software.
Wait, it's a modification of GIMP itself that's supposed to look and feel more like Adobe? Really? Oh, interesting.
I mean, this was like 15 years ago. I don't even know if it still exists. But I could have swore it was GIMP Shop.
Final release, 2006. It's long gone, baby.
Yeah.
But GIMP is still around. It just hit version 3. Let's see here. Its initial version, 1.0, was released in 1998. It's been in development now. I've heard different things from different podcasts. Some people have said 7 years. I've heard 13 years. And I've heard 20 years. So, okay, here we go. Versions. So there's been minor releases of GIMP for quite a while. Oh, wow. Okay, GIMP 2.0 released in 2004, 21 years ago. Since then, they made minor revisions. At one point, they went dark from 2012 to 2018. They went dark for 6 fucking years. And then there's been like basically 1.0 release every year since then. And then now, finally, they have hit 3.0. Wow, that's crazy. But yeah, 3.0 is here. I haven't really played with it, but I downloaded it. So... GIMP is what I use to make the thumbnails.
Well, let me know how it works out.
I will. Okay, what else? Ooh, Pokemon finally ages up its main cast after 30 years. Apparently Ash Ketchum is finally going to be an adult.
I don't believe that.
No, you know what I don't believe? I don't believe that Misty is finally going to be over 18. That's all I got, dude. I got nothing else.
Let's say Bernadette is just stacking that evidence.
Bernadette, who is your favorite Pokemon and why? Submit.
Gengar. Mischievous, clever, always smiling like he knows something you don't. Reminds me of a certain someone on this show. Ruli, be honest. Have you ever ghosted someone, literally?
No, I'm a nice person. I wouldn't do that. Intentionally.
Oh, okay. Intentionally.
I'm really bad at the social medias. There is one news one I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why did they remove all the Looney Tunes from HBO? Like,
I don't know.
Can I buy them somewhere? Do they exist? Do I have to pirate all of them? What's going on?
Deadline confirmed the removal of this is part of the company's initiatives to prioritize adult and family programming. As children's programming specifically does not garner major numbers for the streamer, so it's no longer being considered a priority. How hard is it to keep it hosted? What are you talking about?
It's a hard drive. Yeah, I don't understand that. I wouldn't say it was the best experience ever, but like I took my kiddos to go see the Day the World Blew Up, and they enjoyed it. It's like they're not singing every song or like remembering everything, but when I talked to them about it, they had a good time. You know, just like I feel like Looney Tunes are. It's nice to have a catalog of things that I can know the kiddos can watch. That's not going to like completely corrupt their souls forever. So it's just really weird that would disappear.
Yeah.
It's just hard drive space and people are paying money to stream the things.
Yeah. HBO also canceled their contract with Sesame Street, which has been on the air since 1969. Where did Sesame Street move? No, it's still on HBO for the time being.
Yeah, I just like I get the rights thing, but like with the whole streaming services just basically lining up again with the distributors, it is just so weird that like they would just take away the content that they have. Like, make it make sense.
None of it makes any sense to me.
But I will say,
who do you have to be to own Sesame Street or own the Looney Tunes and be like, nah, delete that? Like, who the fuck do you have to be to fucking say something that fucking stupid? Like, you're the fucking CEO of goddamn Warner Brothers or fucking HBO. You have more money than God. You have a network. Look, I don't give a shit if their network's not like as super profitable as it could be. Like, you're going to delete the fucking Looney Tunes cartoons? Who the fuck signed off on that? Fuck. Why don't you go kick a puppy while you're at it? At a yoga class, maybe. Who fucking knows?
The movie was good. I would say go see it, but I think it's already out of theaters already. The Day the World Blew Up. The Day the Earth Blew Up. Yeah, it is.
Day the Earth Blew Up. There it is.
The only full-length animated Looney Tunes movie ever. So it's history in the making, and apparently also ending.
Box office only 15 million to make, 6 million in the box office. I didn't even hear of it. It's probably they didn't promote it.
Well, yeah, that's the same thing, right? It's just like,
there
was no promotion whatsoever. Like I actually accidentally stumbled on it and it was like, oh, this is a weekend. I got to find something to do with the kiddos. Oh, hey, look, this movie is only going to be playing for 1 week. This is everything lined up to actually go see it.
Yeah, it's so I don't understand the whole like, again, Hollywood accounting where, you know, no money makes money. No movie makes money. Like the whole concept of like they can cancel a movie after shooting it or like, you know, take this and like shit can it and like it's better for them to not promote it. I'm like, what the fuck? Seriously? I do not understand that math. I honestly don't want to. If that's like a fucking world, like I'd rather not live in that. Thank you very much. Ugh.
Meh.
All right, what else is on the list here?
Because of the Looney Tunes stuff, apparently they might actually sell the rights to the the Acme one? Whatever it is, the Roadrunner one? Coyote versus Acme? I forget the official title. Oh, no,
they already claimed
there's
a loss in their taxes. They can't sell it now. I don't apparently know. Apparently
they're hoping. It's all BS math, so I'm pretty sure they can sell it now if they want, because who cares?
Roll the dice!
No one's going to enforce the rules anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to get rid of all that shit soon. We're going to deregulate it, right? Right?
Right.
It's going to be great, Raul. Speaking of movies, Mortal Kombat 2 first look reveals Johnny Cage, Kitana, and Shao Kahn. So yeah, Carl Urban's Johnny Cage has been revealed. You don't give a shit? I thought you liked this fucking movie.
It's because I see really cool things like the T-1000 fatalities, and I'm reminded of the gory mischievousness that is Mortal Kombat, and then I see the movie and it's just like, oh, really? That's it?
That's how far
they're going to take it. I like my violence to be silly and over the top. Yeah. And the Mortal Kombat movie kind of went there, but I mean, it was fun.
Well, apparently Adeline Rudolph, whom I've never heard of, is playing Princess Kitana, and I'll go see the movie to watch her. It'll be great. What else is in the news feed here? After announcing Helldivers movie, Sony is now officially rebooting Starship Troopers. Would you like to know more, Raul?
I don't have enough. I'm not a citizen. I cannot watch this video. It was a citizen or whatever.
Service guarantees citizenship. Would you like to go fight the bugs?
No.
No?
No.
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 Yes. I mean, no.
Okay, let's...
Given the discourse over Starship Troopers, I don't know what angle they're going to play it. And if they don't actually try to go the satire route and try to just make it killing bugs is fun...
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're not going to get biting Paul Verhoeven satire anymore, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah. Not excited.
Oh, okay. So I've got one.
You got one.
Do it.
Yeah. I'm on the fence. I didn't impulse buy it. I want to wait and see. Oh. Introducing two new Pebble OS watches.
I bought one.
We're excited to announce two new smartwatches that run an open source Pebble OS and are compatible with thousands of your beloved Pebble apps. Core 2 Duo has an ultra crisp black and white display, polycarbonate frames, costs $149, and starts shipping in July.
That's the one I bought.
Core Time 2 has a larger 64-color display, metal frame, costs $225, and starts shipping in December.
That's way too late. I don't want to wait. But did you say the battery life?
It's like 30 days.
I know. It's amazing.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm not kidding. I pre-ordered the first one, the $150 one. I don't want the extra features on the other one where it's like it has a touch screen, and it has a heart monitor, and it has a comp. I'm like... I don't want any of that. Like, I genuinely don't fucking want that. Like a little watch can tell time, and I can see a notification and click a thing. And it's supposedly because it's using the OS that's a sequel to the previous one. A lot of the themes should also work. So there's already Elkar's themes. Okay, really, do you even know what an Elkar's theme is?
No, I have no idea. But so now that you're saying it,
Roll. There's this little television show. You probably hadn't heard of it. It's called The Trek to the Stars. So all their fandangled computers, they use this really fancy touch interface. It was revolutionary back in 1987 when the show originally premiered. It's called the Elkar system. It was named that by Michael Okuda and his wife, Jenny Okuda. Yeah, they designed a lot of stuff on the Star Trek shows. I know, you haven't heard of it. It's okay.
What you've taught me something dangerous. I can walk out for half an hour and you can just edit out that silence whenever you stop talking about Star Trek, so thank you very much.
Fine, Raul. Thank you for joining us, dear listener. Raul's leaving.
But I want to talk about the Pebble.
Talk about the Pebble.
I didn't buy it because, like, is it actually like going retail? Is it a Kickstarter thing? Because, like, I'll be honest, like, I did the last two Kickstarters and very love hate with Kickstarter stuff. It's really cool that you get to like see like random stuff kind of like literally come off the ground. But also that like 2 year wait for something, like I'll order something and they'll be like, oh yeah, I ordered this like a month ago or 3 months ago. Or, oh, yeah. Hey, I forgot to give them my address because I bought this 2 years ago and they finally delivered. Like, I think there's like three or four things like that.
This is not a Kickstarter. This is not a pre-sale. This is just literally ordering. You're technically pre-ordering, but you're ordering. They did say it's going to be in limited quantities. So it's not just, they're not just like mass producing it yet. I think that's to see whether or not it succeeds. So
yeah,
you will get your watch. You will likely get it more or less on schedule. It will be a thing, unlike Kickstarter, which is like, I don't know, it'll ship when it's ready. Estimated Q4 2027. But whether or not it succeeds is going to determine probably how many more runs of the hardware they do. So,
yeah,
it's also not to totally sell it here or anything. Oh, you know what? Fuck that. You can get a new Pebble watch for only $150. $150. You go get a steak at Morton Steakhouse. That's more than $150. But this could last 30 days. That steak will only last in your colon for 5 days. That's right. That's 6 times as much colon as going to get a steak at Morton's Pebble watches. I should be a huckster. So why don't you want to buy one?
As a brand, I just feel so burned by it.
Oh, that's fair.
It's like
they're owned by Google. Fuck.
I bought the Kickstarter one. I bought the Kickstarter two. I'll be honest. The concept was good. The execution was not phenomenal. But because it was kind of like this like Kickstarter kind of context type thing, it was fine. Like I could live with it, warts and all.
I disagree. I loved mine when I had it. I thought it was fantastic. Okay, yeah. What didn't you like about it?
Oh, I had sync issues. I mean, it's the typical dumb Bluetooth Android problems, right? It's just like there were times where it just like didn't do the notifications. Like I was fine with like customizing it, but okay, in a world now where we've got an iWatch, like the only appeal that I have right now is the battery power, and I do want to probably see a review or two to see like how cool is it? Are there any warts at all? Because like again, is this like a one-off thing that's just they just wanted to do it to do it. It's I don't know what direction they're going. And I'm happy with my Apple Watch. It just it does what I wanted to do. It integrates phenomenally with my phone. It is no fuss, no muss. It just it's convenient. I hate charging it every day. In fact, I haven't worn it for a week because I like traveled and I'm like, where'd my charger go? But you know, I'll consider it. I don't have the hype behind it. I just want to see it. I want to have other people hype it up for me on a YouTube video or in a podcast. And once I get the confirmation that it's going to be good and not let me down, really, I'm in. But
you could make your own video and you could hype it up. You could be part of the solution. Pay the money and hype it. Let's go, bro. You could get like 150 likes on, I was going to say Insta, on TikTok.
On the TikToks. Maybe.
No! Okay, one more news headline, then we'll do a trailer. This right, one's going to be about...
Computer science.
Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
So, really, Linux is rewriting, or some people in the Linux community are rewriting a lot of the core utilities in Rust. Core utilities being all of those basic bitch commands that every terminal has, ls, mv, cp, bind, all that shit. Part of that's just modernization, bring the code base up to spec. Some things like sort will definitely get faster with parallelization through Rust. But it's also very controversial. People are like, well, do we need to change it? It's a whole Rust controversy. But one of the other things that's interesting, actually, is they're going to put the rewrites under the MIT license. And the difference there is that currently they're under the GPL license. But the MIT license basically like... Shit, which one of them restricts it so you can't resell it? And the other one, maybe the GPL. The GPL says you can't resell it versus if it's written in the MIT license, you can resell it. So people would be able to slap price tags on what is being written with the new core libraries. So the licensing is actually the more interesting
part. If they wanted to,
well, yeah,
there would
but,
be a
you know,
free open source version. To
Yeah, dude, if there's a way for corpos to take advantage of this. Corpo's going to corpo, bro. And so whether you're Canonical, who I think might be involved in this, they own Ubuntu, or your Red Hat, who own Fedora. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's interesting. I'm totally in favor of modernizing shit and getting into a more modern language and bringing in parallelization, and I think it opens up a lot of doors for cool shit. But the license change could make things interesting.
I am literally smack dab in the middle of the fence, and this kind of goes back to our Patreon conversation. The value that developers have gotten from open source is just like standing on the shoulders of giants for nothing, for completely free. And seeing how there are some phenomenal projects that are like the backbone for other projects get like no funding and die.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
It's tragic. It's tragic. It just makes you wonder, like, how did everything else get so popular? How did everything else find a good profit model? And these folks are kind of like left out there.
Yeah.
That and stuff. So like, I think giving folks the opportunity to make some money for contributing to something that is just like the core functionality of every computer in existence. Like I'm fine with that. Like kudos for you. But also just like, I don't want to pay money. I like to keep my money to myself. It's nice to keep it near me.
No, it's under fucking, my mattress. It's so, oh, hold on. Let's have Bernadette tell us what the licenses are. Then we'll continue this conversation.
Okay.
Ah, the new license is like a jealous lover. It insists that anyone who uses your code must also keep it open.
Whoa!
The MIT license, on the other hand, says do what you want, just don't sue me. Tom, I bet you've argued with strangers online about this, non?
I have created a sassy fucking robot. Jesus Christ.
It's definitely the French poly version of stuff. Okay, so just required to be open. Okay.
Okay. Woo, jealous. All right. No, dude, it's so fucking sad. Like, so many of these projects struggle to get any money at all to keep their fucking doors open. And like, I've made donations to KDE, I've made donations to Wikipedia, I've made donations to, I need to make a donation to the Stream Deck guy. I've made donations to emulators. Like, it sucks. Other companies burn millions of dollars, and a lot of this shit no one will pay, which is why like people, the Linux community is, depending on which circle you're running in, like really hate Red Hat, and they really, really hate Canonical specifically. Mm. And like, there's a lot of shit Canonical does that I don't like either. Like the biggest thing by far is they're trying to use their own proprietary package system, and the backend servers for hosting the system are proprietary. You can't host your own version of their packages. The way like, you know, we use .NET, we have NuGet packages, right? Like you can host a NuGet package server, I can host one. With Canonical, you can't host a Snap server.
But it's the trade-off of, I'm going to assume, of reliability and some guarantees that it works, right? You're not going to like brick your computer because you connected to some random server with some random package.
Yes and no, though. The internet is entirely trust-based, as in literally certificates and certificate providers, right? And so like when I connect my Linux machines to Flathub, because I love Flatpaks as a distribution form, like you're agreeing that Flathub is safe. But you could connect it to other repos. And the same thing goes with other Linux providers, like, or other Linux repos. Like, yeah, you got a thing to pull down RPMs and connect to it.
You're talking strictly about the computer side of things. I need to find the story, but recently with all the pain in the butt of Google extensions, I've seen a couple of stories of popular extensions being bought by other folks because they don't want to maintain it. And it's just basically going the route of like, hey, guess what? This new extension has some stupid malware or does this stupid stuff now. And who cares about your handshakes and your certificates when people do dumb stuff to get more money because they weren't getting money in the first place?
Yeah. So. No, that's why like to tie this back into the generational conversation. Like I do think there's a lot of entitlement to people just think everything should be free now, which no one realizes that nothing is free, right? We're selling our data, we're taking advertisements, we're doing all this bullshit. And I wish people would pay a little bit for you know, free and open source software like FOSS doesn't actually have anything to do with money. Free software is about the ability to use it anywhere, not free monetary. That's actually like not part of the core principles of FOSS. But people don't want to pay for anything. And so that's why like a Canonical is a business. And Red Hat is a business, and they make enough money to actually have programmers who actually program things that are fucking useful. Someone has to pay Linus fucking Torvald to develop the goddamn kernel. And when people get pissed at like these companies doing, you know, again, corpo capitalist shit, like, well, how about we agree to pay them some fucking money so they don't do that? Like, I don't know. Supposedly the guy who owns Wikipedia is kind of a dick, but like, hey, do you want Wikipedia to be fucking open and not have ad banners and not have, you know, This agriculture page is brought to you by Bush's Baked Beans. No, I'm not playing that. I don't know, man. You got to give some money to some people, goddammit. But the MIT thing is dangerous because the MIT thing says that now things can be resold. So if you can contribute to this work, then people can sell it for money rather than keep it open source. Which, yes, you can have businesses that are made off of giving money to people that don't then own the source code. You can just do donations. You can pay for contracting your services. So even though something is open source and free, you can still pay people to make it. That is an okay thing. But anyway, we're getting dangerously close to economics and politics. You want to watch a trailer?
Let's do it.
Coming soon to a cinema near you. In a land that...
No, in a land...
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
Yep, yep, yep.
Right. Don't autoplay, you fuck. All right, Ruli. As soon as I can find my share button, tell dear listener what we are about to watch. I can find the window.
I see Tom. He's trying to find a window. Oh, no.
Somewhere on
heard,
a desktop.
I heard about this, and yeah.
I haven't
Gilmore
watched this.
Happy Gilmore 2, Pipe, official teaser trailer. Pipe, Netflix, a minute and 45 teaser?
It's not a teaser, it's a trailer. I'm sorry, I talked over you. It's Happy Gilmore 2. Yeah, dude, of all the Lego sequels, did we need this one? I don't even know what this is about, so this is going to be very educational
so, okay.
for me.
So,
I have no
idea. Before we start,
yeah,
there is a theory that has made me appreciate and understand the movies. It doesn't help you enjoy them, but I understand them now. Supposedly, because he's Adam Sandler, he can just make movies wherever. He basically tries to arrange it where he's like, I want a vacation and I want to live somewhere a certain yep. amount of time. Let's go make a movie there.
Yeah.
And he basically pays for his vacation. And you know what? I'm like,
and brings his friends on vacation too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a, you do you. And apparently there's this following. I mean, I enjoyed the first movie that came out. I want to say high school-ish.
The '90s. Yeah.
The '90s. Yeah. It's sure. Let's see what this is about.
Yeah. It doesn't say when the original movie came out. So, okay. A lot of these Lego sequels have often been about like bringing in like, the old person's kids and like kind of doing a generational hand toss. Do you think that's this, or do you think it's just Adam Sandler being Adam Sandler? Will he have an estranged child or some shit is the question.
I'm stuck on why they did Happy Gilmore 2 and not Waterboy 2, because I feel like that would be way more funnier.
That would probably be funnier. 3, 2, 1, play.
Arnold. Jacko.
Ooh, Arnold. It's my favorite voice to play.
SpongeBob? What is that? What's with the beaver teeth?
He's looking at a picture of himself, dear listener.
Years. I'm a little intimidated. All these guys hit it big now. I don't know where to start.
Come on, brother. Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
He's learning how to play golf again?
That wasn't even a joke. We didn't get to see his old man happy place. It just cut... to people. What are we watching?
You jinxed it. There you go.
Mr. Gilmore? Holy sh...
We're not done with golf.
What are we watching?
Loses everything only to gain it all back again.
I don't know what just happened. Like, we just saw a bunch of clips.
We'll put a little extra into this one. I am so sorry.
Can you even tell what the plot is?
Yeah, he lost his mojo. He's going to lose his house and he has to win the golfing competition to get all the money to get his pride back. And he's going to make friends along the way. Like,
I don't. But like he said, he's going to update his happy place. And then it just gave clips from the movie. And then it cut back to him being like, oh, that's the stuff. Like, the movie's Inception?
Tom, it's either you complain about the trailers giving everything away, or you get nothing from the trailer. You correct. Can't have it both ways.
Correct. Okay, dear listener, thank you so very much for joining us. Please always remember that any of views expressed in the podcast representative solely a person expressing them, not other friends, family, co-hosts, or co-workers, and still another employer's past, present, or future. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for respecting our AI's individuality. Ruli, I don't know, thanks for talking the shooting the shit. We'll talk about the dead internet next week. Dear listener, get ready to get fucking nerdy.
So nerdy.
So weird? No, Bernadette's weird. I might have to tone her back a little bit.
You need to turn down the temperature on your AI settings.
All right, I'll.
That's too nerdy.
I won't play this very often then. All right, dear listener, until next time, hopefully next week, where we're the only ones alive, still left alive on the internet. Compassion is resistance. Until then, compassion is resistance. QQ.
don't know.